Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
I told you. I don't like these ridiculous pat myself on the back moments because they're quite absurd. But can I do it once? Would you mind? Paula, would you mind? Can we do it? I can't even reach because of my awful elbows. I told you this was a pre-planned hit on Donald Trump, and shifty, sleazy Adam Schiff was behind it. It wasn't a mystery. The signs were everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a loaded show for you today. Welcome to the Dan Bongino Show. Producer Joe is on a little bit of a break. I'll be happy to tell you, you'll be very happy for him when we see him back here on Monday. It's a really nice thing that's going on. So he's on a little break. He is working, but from remote, but we're not going to have him on the show today. But there's a really nice thing going on, so I'm more than happy to get to that on Monday. I have got a loaded show for you today. Adam Schiff, sleazy Schiff, shifty Schiff again, blows it again. How many times is this guy going to screw up? I got that. I've got some suspicious information that surfaced yesterday. I've got a fascinating story about Rashida Tlaib, who thinks apparently all black men look alike. Wait, what? Did she just say that? Yeah, well, I've got the video, so don't go anywhere. All right. Oh, one more thing. Book signing tomorrow. Paul will kill me if I don't say it. Book signing. Last one tomorrow. That is Friday, October 4th, 4 p.m. The Barnes & Noble in the Villages in Florida. If you want to come see us, check us out there. If you want an autographed copy of my book, Exonerated, and you can't make it there, you can go to premiercollectibles.com/exonerated. They'll be more than happy to ship one to you. We have a limited stock left, so check them out. All right, folks, let's get to it. Today's show brought to you by buddies at My Patriot Supply. Hey, when emergencies strike, what's your first impulse? I'll tell you what mine is. Go right to the grocery store. Well, what happens if supply chains are disrupted or when the grocery store shelves run barren, which they have down here a few times? Well, the answer is run to the grocery store and go to barren grocery shelves and you haven't prepared an emergency plan. Big mistake. You insure everything in your life that matters. You insure your health. You insure your teeth, your house, your car. People even have eyeglass insurance. How do you not have food insurance? We're only four missed meals away from total chaos. Who said that? Was that Havelock Ellis? No, he's the one who said civilization is a thin crust on a volcano. Folks, ensure your food supply. Go use my friends at My Patriot Supply. Get a plan. I use them. I trust them. They're the leaders in the preparedness industry with guaranteed two-day delivery of your emergency food kit. This is the final week to act and save $100 on a four weeks of sanity in case there's an emergency. A four-week emergency food kit when you go to this special website, preparewithdan.com. My Patriot Supply food kits last up to 25 years in storage. They average over 2,000 calories a day, ladies and gentlemen. Order a few today and receive guaranteed two-day delivery. I have quite a few of these. That includes free shipping discreetly to your front door. It's better to prepare and not need than to need and not have. Be ready for disasters and what's coming. Save $100. Go to preparewithdan.com. Preparewithdan.com. Check them out at preparewithdan.com. All right, let's go. I got to do the Joe Bell myself. Ding, ding, the double bell from Rocky III. This was a pre-planned hit, and Donald Trump was all over it. It's what I love about this guy. He doesn't have a BS filter. He just fires out these tactical bombs on the battlefield as he seems fit. Here is Donald Trump, President Trump, at the White House, one of the briefings yesterday with the leader of Finland. And John Roberts from Fox asks him a question. What broke yesterday? This whistleblower hit on Trump, which is really a deep state leak about his call with Ukraine. Adam Schiff, who suspiciously told people back in early September he had no advanced knowledge of this at all. All of a sudden, the New York Times, of all places, outs the fact that Schiff did know in advance. Here's Donald Trump's priceless response to the presser. Check this out. And I got some information. We're done.
Maybe for the first time in 3 years, I'll have a good question and I'll love it.
There is a report that came out just before you and President Inishto walked out here that the whistleblower met with a staff member of Adam Schiff prior
I love that question
being filed.
It shows that Schiff is a fraud.
And I
love that question. Thank you, John.
So can I finish asking it?
Yes, there's nothing to finish.
So the whistleblower, according to this report, met with a member of Adam Schiff's staff. You got it right there. You know it.
I hate to say it's the New York Times. I can't believe they wrote it.
Your response to the
maybe
fact
they're getting better.
Your response to the fact that that happened and that Schiff may have learned some of what the whistleblower knew prior to the complaint.
Well, I think it's a scandal that he knew before. I go a step further. I think he probably helped write it. Okay, that's what the word is. And I think it's, I give a lot of respect for the New York Times for putting it out. Just happened as I'm walking up here, they handed it to me. And I said to Mike, I said, whoa, that's something. That's big stuff. That's a big story. He knew long before, and he helped write it, too. It's a scam. It's a scam. Just to finish on this, I appreciate it. I love that second question, by the way. Should have asked it first. but let me just tell you, the whole thing is a scam.
Oh, do I love this guy, an oppressor. That's what I love. Now, that we have the Yo Shifty shirts up at Bongino.com. Yo Shifty! We haven't said that in a while. We have those shirts up at Bongino.com at the store if you want to pick one up. We sold something like 150 of them yesterday. By the way, all of our proceeds go to charity. Paul and I do not profit from it at all. So if you want to pick up your Yo Shifty shirt, go check it out, and you'll help us fund a scholarship fund Paul and I are involved in. So it's at Bongino.com. Thank you, Paul, for putting that up. So Shifty's behind the pre-planned hit and the scam from the start. How many times are these media people gonna get smoked, absolutely humiliated and embarrassed by Schiff? Now, I get it. Thank you, by the way, to the guy who sent the thinking cap. We have now an official thinking cap on the show. Put your thinking caps on. Why would the New York Times blow up this story and make Schiff look like a fool? My guess, folks, is it was about to leak somewhere else that Schiff, who said he had no advanced knowledge of this whistleblower, really deep state leaker, no advanced knowledge at all. My guess here is that it was about to blow up elsewhere in conservative-leaning media, and the New York Times, again, wanted to get out in front of it to frame the story appropriately. Now, because I'm not going to link to the New York Times and their slimy stuff. By the way, they had us at 10 on the bestseller list, which is like, okay, sure. We'll get into that another time. But yeah, right. The Washington Times article. I'm going to link to this one instead by Dave Boyer and Gabriel Munoz. Trump slams Schiff as a fraud over a report that the whistleblower gave him a heads up on the complaint. Now, in there is this fascinating line that Schiff, their team, learned about the outlines of the complaint basically in advance. That's not what Schiff said. Now, everybody's trying to frame it, contour it. Ladies and gentlemen, this whole thing was a hoax. I told you last week it was a pre-planned hit. The signs were everywhere. Everywhere. Anybody who knew what was going on and had even semi-decent sources knew this was a pre-planned operation against Trump. Now, this is not the first. I'm going to lay out some more information here, just showing you how devastating this pre-planned hit was. And just so we're clear, I don't want to talk past anyone, and I don't want to talk down to anyone either. Pre-planned, meaning this had nothing to do with a whistleblower in the White House being disturbed by the contents of Trump's call with the Ukrainian president, where that fake promise was made. If they looked up Hunter Biden's information, the Ukrainians, Trump was going to give a military support. None of that happened. This was a pre-planned hit. The Ukrainian call, ladies and gentlemen, and the allegations of what were in it, which were debunked, is just a cover to, again, hit and take out Trump and get him to an impeachment trial. That's it. You understand that, right? The Ukrainian call has nothing to do with anything. It's a perfectly innocent, innocuous call. It is another front. This was pre-planned in advance. They know Hunter Biden has issues in Ukraine. Joe Biden has issues in Ukraine. And as I've shown you now, the thinking cap out of here, 1,000 times, the Politico piece, there we go, Ukrainian efforts to sabotage Trump backfire. They know the Ukrainians were involved with key Democrats to collude in the 2016 election to hurt Trump. They were waiting for Trump's call to Ukraine, set this whole thing up in advance with Shifty Schiff, and then hit. Now, it's not the first time. Remember the other pre-planned. I've been waiting on this. Today's show is going to be so good. What was the other pre-planned hit? Remember Adam Schiff went out to that Aspen, out to Aspen, Colorado, and who he conveniently ran into right there, right around the time of the testimony that was going on? Oh, Glenn Simpson from Fusion GPS. Remember that meeting? Yeah, like the meeting they had with the whistleblower who they said they didn't meet with. Or the whistleblower, representatives for the whistleblower, to be precise, because precision matters. Remember the meetings they said never happened? Remember when Schiff met with Simpson, too, and Aspen? Why not meet with him in D.C.? Oh, maybe nobody was looking. No, we were. Maybe Adam, remember Adam Schiff's office meeting with Trump's lawyer, Michael Cohen, before Cohen's testimony? Why were they meeting? To shape and contour, like Plato, like the blob, the contours of Cohen's testimony up on Capitol Hill to make it look like Trump had done something he hadn't done? Another meeting Schiff's involved in that he cryptically left out?
Well, meet with him, maybe kind of, sort of.
So we have a meeting with Glenn Simpson, the Simpson Steel dossier hoax. We have a meeting with Cohen, Michael Cohen, Trump's former lawyer, who perpetrated another bunch of hoaxes up on Capitol Hill about Trump. And now we have a meeting with a whistleblower in advance and a pre-planned hit. Folks, you want to see some more fingerprints all over this pre-planned hit, this hoax? Here we go. The Inspector General of the Intelligence Community, the ICIG, Intelligence Community Inspector General. Again, the Internal Affairs Officer for the Intel Community, who's supposed to investigate these urgent concern complaints. They were so concerned about this Ukrainian phone call that they lied about the contents of to the media. He says it was an urgent concern. Oh, now we find out they didn't even see the phone transcript of the call first. Oh, isn't that nice? This piece will be up in the show notes and are a must read today. Please, at Bongino.com, check them out. Subscribe to my email list. I'll email them right to you. The Federalist, Matt Beebe, who's done great work on this. The IC Inspector General didn't even review the Ukraine call before forwarding whistleblower complaint. How is that? How's that possible? How's that possible? I thought the Inspector General deemed it some kind of an urgent concern, the contents of the phone call. We have a screen cap from that piece, right? How did you deem it an urgent concern if you didn't actually read it and don't know what's in it? Quote from the piece, The Federalist. In the letter, the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community explains, quote, as a part of its preliminary review, the ICIG did not request access to records of the president's July 25th, 2019 call with the Ukrainian president. He continued, quote, I decided that access to records of the telephone call was not necessary to make my determination that the complaint relating to the urgent concern appears credible. Are you kidding me? Are you joking? I don't have it in the show today, but the Wall Street Journal has a fascinating piece today about how norms, ladies and gentlemen, when I say norms, what I mean by this is the republic is evaporating in front of our very eyes. Constitutional norms are being thrown out the window because the liberal lunatics and their media buddies they will collapse the republic to get rid of this president. How does that relate to what I just told you? They didn't even see the phone call of a president engaged in his constitutional duty, foreign diplomacy, as the chief executive of our country under Article 2. They didn't even see the phone call, and they sent a complaint to Congress under Title 50-3033 that doesn't even apply to the president at all, and gave the Congress and everyone else the ability to go after the president's foreign phone calls. Totally usurping his power to deal with foreign leaders with some veil of privacy. We've seen courts overturning by judicial fiat acting like politicians in the Trump era. We've seen politicians engaged in tyrannical spying efforts on the Trump team. Folks, this is serious. This is deadly serious. Constitutional norms in the republic are collapsing by the day. Now that the Congress, which has no authority whatsoever to intercept the president's communications with a foreign leader, Adam Schiff and his sleazy pre-planned hit jobs on Donald Trump, hit job number 3, if not number 22, we're losing track. Hoaxer, liar, conspiracy theorist Schiff, they now want all of the president's phone calls with foreign leaders. Ladies and gentlemen, this is collapsing in front of our very eyes. The ICIG didn't even review the phone call. So now, just to be clear, the norm I'm addressing here that's collapsing, demanding phone calls, judges overturning, acting as politicians from the bench by judicial fiat. Now, any time a fake whistleblower in the White House, who doesn't even need to hear something firsthand, complains to Congress about something they don't like about Trump. Just to be clear, this is where we're going with this Matt Beebe article. An investigation needs to be started And demands have to be made for the contents of that call? Folks, we are in dangerous, dangerous times. Another ringer piece from the Federalist by the excellent Margot Cleveland. The whole form controversy continues. Was this form change, the ICIG whistleblower reporting call, to allow secondhand information specifically to target Trump? This is the most comprehensive piece on the matter I've seen yet. In the show notes again today, Margot Cleveland, headline, the key point about the whistleblower's firsthand knowledge isn't the law, it's the shady regulation changes. As I discussed yesterday, yes, the law about whistleblowing, ladies and gentlemen, may have allowed, did allow some secondhand information. That's not a question. Precision matters. The real question here is the whistleblower used an old form that specifically demanded firsthand information, and the form was changed to accommodate the fake whistleblower. Why? You don't believe me? From Margot Cleveland's piece, some of you have asked for the original form. I'm here for you. Don't worry. I'll read it to you, but you can check it out, youtube.com/Bongino, if you want to look at it yourself, or you can just click on the article yourself and it's in there. From Margot Cleveland's piece. But in fact, the form did more than request information about whether the individual possessed firsthand knowledge. The form emphatically stated first hand information required. Here's the form, ladies and gentlemen. Margot Cleveland highlights it for you right there. Here's the quote from the form. First hand information required. Please look at the form yourself. Why was the form changed? Were there demands to change the form in the past? Why was it changed only when the complaint involved Donald Trump about a phone call the inspector general who deemed it urgent didn't even see? And a complaint Adam Schiff was tweeting about in August when he said he didn't hear from the whistleblower until September. This was a setup. This was a hit on Trump from the start. Planned out in advance. Forms were changed to plan it. Leaks were flowing conveniently into Adam Schiff's office. Now, Margot Cleveland notes this in the second part of her piece. She says, frankly, at the end of the day, the problem is not altering the directions to comply with the statute. Folks, that's not a problem. The problem is that the administration suggests that the ICIG's office changed its policy to get Trump. The attempt to hide the modification of the form, which they did, only strengthens that concern, as does Atkinson's unreasoned conclusion that the complaint involved a, quote, urgent concern and was credible, notwithstanding the numerous errors in the complaint. Allegations about a promise that weren't there. Allegations of State Department people being on the call that weren't on the call. A box check stating it was firsthand information when it wasn't. And a call that's alleged to be a problem that the ICIG deems urgent, yet hasn't even seen. Oh, this is good. Oh, but it gets better. Oh, it gets better. So now we know forms are changed, information requirements are thrown out, verifications chucked out the window, the call wasn't even read by the ICIG. We know Schiff lied about being contacted. Yeah, and liberal media people still take this stuff seriously, these hits by Schiff. The Bongino rule, wait 24 to 72 hours, all of this stuff will be debunked. I've got a couple other, shall we call them, Paula, abnormalities in the process? I love when people say process. It's process when they want to sound smart. In the process. I'll get to that in a second. Don't go anywhere. All right, today's show also brought to you by My Choice and Home Security Simply Safe. Ladies and gentlemen, on average, this is disturbing. Seriously, a burglary happens once every 23 seconds in the United States, FBI statistics. Approximately 2 million burglaries are reported a year in the United States, U.S. Census report. 83% of burglars admitted they specifically look to see if there's an alarm. Nobody wants to break into a household alarm. 20 out of every 1,000 households were burglarized in 2017. That's why we use Simply Safe in my house. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a little bit of background in security. I like Simply Safe. Easy to use. Works great. No problems. No hassles. No contracts either. What's crazy is only 1 in 5 homes have home security. With the affordability, there's no excuse for that. Maybe because most companies don't make it that easy. SimpliSafe is my top choice, hands down. We love it because it's super easy to set up and the customer service is top-notch. SimpliSafe protects every door and window with 24/7 professional monitoring. They make it easy. There's no contract. They don't need a contract. There's no hidden fees or fine print. They don't need a contract because they know you're not going to go anywhere. It's that easy. It's won a ton of awards from CNET to the New York Times Wirecutter. Prices are always fair, always honest. Around-the-clock monitoring is just $15 a month. Who can beat that? But one thing that truly makes SimpliSafe stand out is their video verification technology. When other home security systems are triggered, a lot of times police assume it's a false alarm and their call goes to the bottom list. I know. But not with SimpliSafe. Using their video verification technology, they're able to visually confirm that a break-in is happening, allowing police to get to the scene 3.5 times faster than other home security companies. That's big. And for my listeners, SimpliSafe has a huge deal going on right now. Go to SimpliSafe. That's SimpliSafe.com/Dan Bongino and get free shipping and a money-back guarantee. That's SimpliSafe.com/Dan Bongino, not just my last name. SimpliSafe.com/Dan Bongino. Check it out today. You're not going to want to miss out. The best deal in home security. We use SimpliSafe right here in my house. Okay. So we're discussing severe abnormalities in the pre-planned political hit on Donald Trump disguised as a whistleblower complaint. Let's go to this doozy hat tip, our good friend at John W. Huber on Twitter, Undercover Huber, one of the best accounts, can't recommend it enough, who dug up this little rule. Wow, check out this gem, House Intel Committee Rule 9.4. Each member of Congress shall at all times have access to all papers, and other material received from any source. Let me read that again for the liberals who may have a tough time with this. Each member of the committee, the House Intel Committee that sleazy Adam Schiff runs, shall at all times have access to all papers and other material received from any source. How come nobody else had access to that material? When Adam Schiff was approached by representatives from the whistleblower, you know, the meeting they had that Adam Schiff lied about. No, we haven't had any contact. Wrong. And Schiff had information. Paula, can you put that up again? From any source? He's obligated under the House's own rules to share all papers and material received from any... I'm just quoting their own rules from the committee Adam Schiff now runs. Why didn't he share that? Because it was a pre-planned political hit that he wanted to keep on the down Lizzo right there. He wanted to keep it on the big time DL so he could launch this bomb. And why? Give the GOP and Trump no chance to do their prep work and answer back. He's not going to share any of the paperwork. That would be the honest thing to do. Folks, I'm not kidding. Is there a sleazier human being in Congress? I warned you last week. I warned you as a friend of the show. When Adam Schiff becomes the face of an alleged Trump scandal, ladies and gentlemen, immediately throw your own penalty flag at home. There is something wrong. This guy has been knee deep in every anti-Trump hoax out there. He has no morals. He has no spine. He has no character. He has no ethics. He's not only an awful, terrible congressman. He is an awful human being who is, I would say, part of a cabal of idiots who is single-handedly would be inappropriate if I called it a cabal of idiots because precision does matter. Largely with the cabal leading an effort to burn this country to the ground. It is a disgrace what this human being is doing. He is a liar and he is a fraud. And thank you to the president for calling this fraud exactly what he is, a fraud. By the way, folks, please don't go anywhere. I haven't even laid out part two of this. Why Johnny B., Johnny Boombots, Johnny Brennan is panicking right now. Oh, you're going to love this one. I'm going to lay out to you what's going on behind the scenes with Brennan and why he's freaking out too about this whole thing. How does that tie into Schiff's investigation? Because again, This is not an investigation into a whistleblower complaint. It is a pre-planned hit to try to impeach the president before anybody gets to the bottom of Spygate, Ukrainegate, UKgate, all of the stuff they did to Donald Trump and John Brennan's key role in it. Let's go to abnormality number two. Hat tip Sean Davis from The Federalist on Twitter, who absolutely wrecked one of the worst lawyers I have ever seen. Twitter lawyers, by the way. I don't even know what he does. I'm sure he's a real lawyer. This guy, Brad Moss, who is a total clown, who has been on the wrong side. He's one of the collusion hoaxers. This guy's been on the wrong side of just about everything. So Davis and Moss have this back and forth, and Moss owns himself by sending Sean Davis a set of rules that contradict exactly what he was supposed to say. So just to set this up, I don't want it to be complicated. It's actually very simple. This guy, Brad Moss, who's, like, again, on the wrong side of nearly every Trump issue out there, he sends Sean Davis a snippet of these House rules again, showing how it's perfectly appropriate for the whistleblower to go to Congress and shift before they go to the Inspector General. Ironically, the rules he sent over say the exact opposite. But again, you know, it's Brad Moss, so we get it. Here is the rules, hat tip Sean Davis. He actually had to highlight them for Moss, who apparently didn't read his own screenshot before he sent it. It's nothing worse than sending a screenshot, which contradicts your point. So he only paid attention to the first line here. So hold on one second. Just to be clear what we're setting up again. Here's another abnormality. The whistleblower was supposed to go to the Inspector General first, but didn't. Rushed right over to Schiff's office. The representatives, again, precision matters. Now, there are conditions that would be allowed, but conditions not met by this case. Now, check this out. Again, the guy, Moss, only read the first line, apparently. Not too swift. The employee may contact the Intelligence Committees directly as described in Clause I. So he stopped reading there. Oh, good. He contacted Schiff. We're good. Only, he didn't read the rest. Only if the employee, one, before making contact, furnishes to the director through the Inspector General a statement of the employee's complaint or information and notice of the employee's intent to contact the intelligence community directly. Did they do that? No. No, Moss didn't read that. Either did the liberals. So yeah, you could go to Congress, but you have to notify the ICIG first. Was that done? No. Another total abnormality in this case. There's another condition here. Not met either in this case. But again, don't expect Moss or these other Twitter lawyers to read past the first line. Condition number two. We having problems with condition number two? Condition number two. Obtains and follows from the director through the Inspector General direction on how to contact the intelligence committees in accordance with appropriate security practices. Was that done? No. Verdict is in. Brad Moss does not know what he's talking about again. In one of the great cell phones I've seen on Twitter in a long time. There's nothing like forwarding a screen cap of rules that contradict the point you're trying to make on Twitter. Really nice work. Well done, buddy. Thumbs up. So let's just run down again the pre-planned hit. Schiff lied. Schiff apparently was working with people representing this whistleblower. They lied about when contact was made. They broke the rules to go through the ICIG first. They forwarded a complaint based on an urgent concern from the ICIG, who didn't even read the call the urgent concern was based on. The call and the report about the call was secondhand, not firsthand. A form was changed to accommodate a whistleblower who filled out an old form. That never happened in the past. The information the whistleblower states they have was secondhand and was wrong. But don't worry, libs. You're right. You got him this time. We need a fishing pole. Someone will send one. We don't need a fishing pole. Oh, that would be fun. I fished once. I actually caught something. How many times are you guys going to get sucked in and anti-Trump lunatics out there? Guys and ladies, how many times? How many times are we going to hear from you? Oh, we got him now. We got him now, folks. They got Trump. No. We got you. We got you. That was my boomerang imitation for those watching on YouTube. You ever throw a boomerang? It's supposed to come back to you. Catch it, you got to catch it, not with your face, like Shifty did yesterday. I told you, just give it some time and all of this stuff is going to melt away and blow up in their faces. What are we talking about now? Again, here we go, baby. Ukraine interference in the election with the Obama administration and Biden. All right, I'm going to roll through this Brennan stuff. This is good. First, I want to play a video. I'll get to that in a second. Brennan is freaking out. Johnny B is in big, big trouble. And this is why Schiff is engaged in hoax number 6,722 to try to get Trump impeached desperately before the Michael Horowitz Inspector General report comes out. And John Durham, who now wants to interview Brennan, Brennan doesn't want to answer questions. Brennan's afraid he may be accused of 1001. What's 1001? False statements. Brennan does not want to see himself in bracelets. And I don't mean David Yurman bracelets. I mean handcuffs. Get to that in a second. We have one final sponsor today. Folks, I just got into cryptos. I'm really enjoying it. For me, it's been a really solid investment tool. I enjoy it. I use eToro. That's why I was happy to take them on as a sponsor. Very easy to use. Check them out. eToro, eToro.com/Bongino. eToro.com/Bongino. Smart crypto trading made easy. I'll be honest with you. I was familiar with what cryptos were, but not familiar with how the trading worked. I went on to eToro.com/Bongino. I love it. It is super easy to use. I recommend it. I enjoy it. I'm using it now. I have my own account. I think it's wonderful. If you're interested in cryptocurrencies, I strongly recommend you check them out as well. We recently saw Bitcoin prices rise after China devalued its currency and global markets tanked. We can now see how cryptocurrencies are becoming a real alternative to gold as a hedging strategy. For me, the best place to trade cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin is at eToro.com. Here's why I like them. eToro is smart crypto trading made easy. Super easy to use, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, I was not deeply embedded in the whole crypto movement, and I figured it out relatively quickly. eToro.com/Bongino. eToro is the world's number one social trading platform, has over 11 million active traders, and facilitates over $1 trillion in trading volume per year globally. You can access the world's best cryptocurrencies. They have 15 different coins available. They have low and transparent fees. That was important to me. Advanced charting features for smart strategy building. You can try before you trade too. This is what I like. You can get a virtual portfolio. You can try before you trade. It's virtual. With a $100,000 budget, where you can check it out, feel around, make yourself comfortable with the platform. Never miss a trading trend with charts, pricing alerts, and social feeds. Sign up today at eToro.com/Bongino. That's eToro.com/Bongino. Check it out. Super easy to use. And listen, I think it's the future, so go check it out. All right. Johnny Boombots, not doing well. So I'm going to set up this video here. So Durham, who is a United States attorney investigating the Spygate fiasco and the whole anti-Trump operation to try to take down his campaign, which I believe Brennan was the ringleader of, John Durham apparently wants to interview Brennan. Oh, Brennan's going to find himself in real trouble now. Because if Brennan lies and he's interviewed with FBI agents who will most assuredly be in the room, Brennan can be charged with crime. Brennan, can you imagine that? Johnny B being perp walked out. So Brennan's freaking out. So where does he go? Of course, he goes on his network there and listen to this interview with fake Republican Nicole Wallace, who is one of the worst shows on television, by the way. She's up there with Katie Torres, like the queen of misinformation. He's on with Nicole Wallace and listen to the freak out here. You can almost see like there's something going on. He what does he pivot to? Right away back to the Russians again, because that's all he has.
Check do you understand a motive?
I don't. And I'm supposedly going to be interviewed by Mr. Durham as part of this non-investigation. I remember William Barr, you know, when he was testifying in front of Congress, he said he didn't understand the predication of the counterintelligence investigation that was launched into Russia's interference in the 2016 election. I don't understand the predication of this worldwide effort to try to uncover dirt, either real or imagined, that would discredit that investigation in 2016 into Russian interference. You know, on one hand, the Obama administration is crucified for not doing enough. Mm-hmm. And now they're looking for what we might have done in order to try to understand better and to prevent the Russian interference. And I do agree, it's not just that Trump doesn't care about Russian interference. I think he is hoping that he's going to get it because he knows that Russia interfered on his behalf. And I think as he sees his political fortunes dwindling, I think he really is hoping that his pal Vladimir is going to come through once again and help him get elected in 2020 if he's going to be in office by then.
This guy's such a clown. He is such a joker. You know, can I just tell you a quick, Brennan, to show you what a clown this guy is? I was on a Hilo on a trip in my prior line of work, sitting in a tight quarter. It's really tight in there. It was a 60. So it's tight quarter. Those of you flown on those know what I'm talking about. And I'm 6'1". Kinda. Used to be. Shrunk a little bit. So I'm stuffed in the back and Clown Brennan's sitting in front of me. So I'm like looking over his shoulder, not because I'm peeking. I swear I wasn't. I really I couldn't have cared any less about this guy. But I'm looking over his shoulder because of how cramped the court. I mean, my head is like on his shoulder. He's sitting there like Googling himself with all. I'm like, all right, I have my name on Google Alert because the show is called The Dan Bongino Show. He's Googling himself. Like, this guy is such a clown. He's a clown. He's not even like a good clown. He's like a bad clown. He's like a Krusty. Remember Krusty from The Simpsons? He's Krusty the Clown. He's not even a good clown. He's like the Stephen King It clown. What's his name? Mr. Jigglesworth or something? Who the heck is that clown from? I don't even know. I don't watch horror movies anymore. He's a bad clown. But there's like outside of the obvious felonious buffoonery by Brennan, there's a couple of takeaways in there. He's panicked about the interview because of what I just told you. He now can't lie. And if he pleads the fifth, it's going to look really bad. So Brennan's in a panic. Apparently, Dora wants to interview me. Oh, yeah, Johnny B. But secondly, notice how he pivots back to Russia. Clown. He's a clown. Why does he pivot back to Russia? Have you thought this one through? Oh, it's about Russia interfering. Because he knows the investigation was never about Russia. It was about Trump. This was never about Russia. They were using Russians to target Trump. You have that Tribnikov note? They were using Russian sources to target Trump, not to target Russia. Do you understand? They were looking at Steele's information, who already admitted in notes taken in an interview he gave to the State Department's Kathleen Kavalek, Christopher Steele. Here it is right here. Sources, Tribnikov. Steele was using Russian sources to give information to Democrats about Trump, not about Russia. The investigation was always about Trump. Johnny B. wants you to believe this was about Russian interference. It had nothing to do with that. It was a targeted political hit job. Now, what is Brennan freaking out about? Regular listeners to the show. Again, hat tip my buddy 279 and Judy, by the way, for really great work and a lot of other people out there who've crowdsourced and other things on this. You all been very helpful. Brennan is hiding. Please put, where's the thinking cap guy? Right, here we go. Listen, it's thinking cap time, folks, okay? Brennan, this looks so ridiculous with hats on, don't I? Brennan is hiding a parallel construction scheme. All right, enough of these rinky dink hats here. Hold on, thank you. I think it was Ryan who sent that over. Did we give the cigar guy credit? Troy, by the way, is a Troy for the cigar. He is hiding a parallel construction scheme. What do I mean by this? Don't worry, I'm going to lay this out for you right now. Brennan has stated multiple times publicly that he did not come into contact with the dossier, Steele's information, who, as I just showed you, Steele was using Russian, a guy named Tribnikov, a upper-level Russian intelligence guy, intimately connected to Vladimir Putin. They were using his information to target Trump, not Russia. Brennan has claimed multiple times he didn't see the dossier information until September. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. And Brennan, he may not have seen the formal dossier, but he most certainly knew about Steele's information before then. Why is he saying that? He is saying that because Brennan, here's what happened. Brennan got the information, I believe, through Steele and through these sources about Trump. The fake dossier information, the P tape, they were colluding with the Russians on Hillary's emails. Remember all that garbage in the dossier? You understand it. Brennan clearly gets this in the summer of 2016, way before December, during the election season. Brennan is not a criminal investigator, folks. He's the director of the CIA. He has no law enforcement authority at all. He cannot issue warrants to investigate Trump. But who can? Paula, seriously, please yell in here if this doesn't make sense, because I don't have audience on Budsman Joe and I need someone, because this has to make sense to you. It'll explain what Schiff is hiding too. Brennan has no law enforcement authority in the summer of 2016 when he gets this devastating information about the Trump pee-pee tape and all this other nonsense. He has no authority to issue warrants and spy on the Trump team. But who does? The FBI. But Brennan, who doesn't run the Steele information up his channels and hasn't verified it, any of it, it's false. How can he verify? It's just not true. He made it up. Brennan does not want to be on the record passing information to the FBI saying, hey, can you guys look into this? This looks serious. Trump's colluding with the Russians to interfere in the election, because the information he's about to give them is false and he doesn't want his name attached to it. So what do? They go back to Steele. Steele then passes the information to the State Department, the FBI, the media, anyone and everyone. So the FBI will think, wow, this information must be credible. But the FBI never realizes that some of the tips they're getting from the CIA about information, that some of those tips are coming from Steele. Why? Because Brennan doesn't want anyone to know they're getting the Steele information, because then he would be responsible for having to verify it before he passes it on, and he must know it's coming from Russians and it's false. So what is parallel construction? He just passes these, he gets somebody to pass the information to the FBI. The information they're getting, they think is legitimate. They don't know it's from Steele until the fall. And they reconstruct all of the information through Steele, leaving Brennan out. Does that make sense, Paula? No? It does. Okay, thank you. In other words, Brennan could say, hey, I'm hands off. You got it from Steele. You didn't get it from me. What's my evidence? Here's testimony from Lisa Page, FBI lawyer, who was working on the Trump case, who seems stunned that John Brennan may have had Steele's information in the summer when he said he only got it in December. Let me read this to you. Here's Lisa Page in sworn testimony talking to Congressman Mark Meadows. Great guy. She says, so I don't understand why you're saying this. Whatever occurs between Brennan and Reed, I don't understand what the relationship to the dossier is. I'm not following it. Meadows says, so the dossier apparently was mentioned. In fact, we have documents that would suggest that in that briefing, the dossier was mentioned to Harry Reid, and then obviously we're going to have conversations. Does that surprise you? Lisa Page, totally surprises me. Let me translate. Johnny B, who said he didn't see the dossier until December, magically had the same information in August when he briefs Harry Reid, that's what they're referring to there, in August about the contents of the dossier. Well, how do we know he briefed Harry Reid in August? He said he didn't see the dossier until December, because Harry Reid wrote a letter shortly after that briefing, citing the briefing and mentioning information. Harry Reid writes a letter to the FBI demanding an investigation. Oh, convenient how Brennan detaches himself there. Harry Reid did it, not me. And in the Harry Reid letter is information only in the dossier Brennan claims he didn't see. Page is stunned. Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, as Lisa Page and the FBI are getting this information from Steele and the dossier, they are getting information from the intelligence community that corroborates the dossier. Because it was the dossier. The intelligence community just wasn't telling them it was the dossier. They were hiding it and laundering it. They think it's confirmation. It's the same garbage. Now, here's more from Page, who's stunned that the CIA may have had this. No, they were feeding us other stuff. It was the same stuff. Meadows, you know, we do know there are multiple sources. Lisa Page, I do know that. Wait, stop right here. So Mark Meadows, Republican congressman, is saying, hey, there were multiple sources you guys cited, right? The FBI, you said you were getting this from a bunch of them. That's why the FBI thinks the information's credible. They've been getting it from all these people, the State Department, the CIA, others. It's the same information. It doesn't matter if 22,000 people tell you 2 plus 2 equals 6. It doesn't make it verify, it makes it false. Just means a number of people are deluded. Meadows is trying to tell her. He's setting her up. You guys said you had multiple sources on this info, right? Therefore, it had to be true. So check out Paige's response. Paige is acknowledging, oh, yeah, there were multiple sources. She says, I do know that. I do know that the information ultimately found its way to a lot of different places, certainly in October of 2016. But if the CIA as early as August had those same reports, I'm not aware of that. Nor do I believe they provided them to us. And that would be unusual. I believe Lisa Page. I don't believe John Brennan. I don't believe Lisa Page acted with integrity in this case. But I believe Lisa Page is telling the truth here. They did not know the intelligence community information that corroborated the dossier the FBI got from Steele later, after the summer of 2016. The formal dossier. I don't believe they knew it was from the same source. It does not absolve them of their atrocious spying and potential violations of the law. I'm not telling you that at all. Don't mistake what I'm saying. I'm simply suggesting to you that Brennan has a whole lot to worry about if Durham interviewed Page and got the same information, because Brennan is either going to have to plead the fifth or tell the truth to the FBI that he was dealing with Steele's information way before he publicly acknowledged it and somehow had it shuttled over to the FBI. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it gets worse. Please don't go anywhere. From the excellent reporting of John Solomon at The Hill, here's where the panic sets in. Memos detail the FBI's hurry the F up pressure to probe the Trump campaign. Check out this little tidbit from that Johnny Solomon piece. The day after Trump's surprising electoral win on November 9th, the FBI counterintelligence team, that's Page and Stroke, Lisa Page we were just talking about, engaged in a new mission, bluntly described in another string of emails prompted by another news leak. Here's Peter Stroke emailing Page the day after Trump wins the election. We need all caps, all of their names to scrub, and we should give them hours for the same purpose, Stroke emailed Page, citing a Daily Beast article about Paul Manafort. Andy didn't get any others, Page wrote back, apparently indicating McCabe didn't have names to add to the, quote, scrub. That's what Bill said, referring to Bill Pristep. Stroke responds back. I suggested we need to exchange our entire list as we each have potential derogatory CI info the other doesn't have. CI is short for confidential informant. Scrub the list? Of informants? What were they scrubbing? Why were they panicked the day after Trump's election? Are Lisa Page and Peter Stroke, the FBI team working on this Spygate operation, spying on Donald Trump, using Steele's information, all of a sudden panicked that their list of informants they've been using may all be the same guy? Scrub the list. Reminds me of that movie, The Recruit. Colin Farrell. Get the knock list. Scrub the list. Why all of a sudden you all in a panic? Johnny B's got a lot of questions to answer, don't he? Scrub the list. I love that one. So dramatic. Scrub the list. Maybe we need a dramatic reading of that. We should bring in one of those voice actors. Read the text back and forth. Hey, let's get Christy Swanson and Dean Cain. They did a reading of the text. They did. It was great. Oh, it gets worse than that. Seems the FBI personnel texting each other back and forth are really concerned, too, after this electoral win by Trump. The fact that their information stream may be drying up or coming from the same guy, Christopher Steele, when the CIA had told him it was coming from someone different. They're really concerned about getting a surveillance guy in the White House. Again, another John Solomon piece. Same piece. As the president-elect geared to take over, the FBI made another move that has captured investigators' attention. It named an executive with expertise in the FBI's most sensitive surveillance equipment to be a liaison to the Trump transition. Wow, these whistleblowers are everywhere, folks. On its face, that seems odd. Technical surveillance nerds aren't normally the first picks for plum political assignments. Even odder, the FBI counterintelligence team running the Russia probe seemed to have an interest in that appointment. How many whistleblowers were there in the White House? Why is the FBI and the counterintelligence team investigating Trump expressing a special, unique interest in a political appointment at the White House and concerned that they get a guy with spying, a background and the technical components of spying in there? Folks, how many whistleblowers exactly were in the White House? How long have these pre-planned hits been pre-planned? Now the panic ensues. Let's check out this Daily Caller piece. Now they're really freaking out. We need to get a surveillance guy in the White House. We need to scrub the list. Chuck Ross, Peter Stroke suspected the CIA was behind inaccurate media leaks. Check out this panic as they start to figure out that their source, Steele, may have been a source for everyone. Quote, Peter Stroke suspected CIA's employees were behind inaccurate leaks to the press regarding Trump campaign contacts with Russia, according to an email he sent to colleagues in April of 2017. Listen to this doozy. Peter Stroke's email, quote, I'm beginning to think the agency, the CIA, got info a lot earlier than we thought. Oh, you think, Pedro? You think? Let me read that one again. I'm beginning to think the agency got info a lot earlier than we thought and hasn't shared it completely with us. Might explain all of these weird, seemingly incorrect leads all these media folks have. Would also highlight agency as a source of some of those leaks. The panic rolls right over into the new year as the strokester, old Pedro, starts to figure out that maybe the information they were getting from the agency wasn't exactly all on board. Wasn't actually above board, as I should say. A little bit below board. Let me throw one final hook in there. Stroke page text suggests FBI use post-election briefing to gather intel on the Trump team, GOP senators say. Wow, so now you figure out your sources that the CIA told you were separate independent verification was actually the same guy. You scrub the list. Then you try to get your CI guy, counterintelligence guy, and your surveillance guys into the White House. Then you panic when you start to figure out the CIA wasn't exactly being honest with you the whole time. Panic in an email. By the way, these are some of the dumbest counterintelligence people I've ever seen putting this on email. Morons. But then we have this little doozy we've been ruminating on for months here in the Dan Bongino show. Who's Charlie? From that Daily Caller piece by Chuck Ross. Here's another doozy email from our buddy Pedro Strzok. Talking with Bill, that's his boss, Do we want Joe to go with Evanina instead of Charlie for a variety of reasons? Stroke wrote to Page on November of 2016. This is right after the election. The freakout continues. Not sure, Page responded. Would it be unusual to have blank show up again? Maybe another agent from the team. Or he's the CI guy. Same. Might blank make sense? He can assess if there are any news, questions, or a different demeanor. If Katie's husband is there, he can see if there are people we can develop for potential relationships, wrote Stroke, who initially led the FBI's probe. Ladies and gentlemen, who the heck is Charlie? Let me translate that for you. Katie, who we believe refers to the spouse of Mike Pence, the vice president's, one of his former upper-level staffers, is an associate of Stroke. They are looking to develop, from what we glean from this email, sources inside the administration the FBI can use to spy on the Trump team. And they're concerned about sending a person, maybe not named Charlie, by the way. That could mean a lot of different things. You may say, well, they said Charlie. That could be some kind of code word or something else. Could be the name. Name could be Charlie. So the first, they're concerned about developing sources in the administration for the purposes of their investigation and leveraging their personal relationships. Secondly, they're concerned that if they send Charlie again, given his counterintelligence background, that it may look suspicious. Who the heck is Charlie? Ladies and gentlemen, how many whistleblowers were there? How many were reporting back to the CIA and the FBI? Tell me again how this isn't some kind of a soft coup going on. I would love to hear your informed liberal perspective about how everything I just said, based on their emails, sworn testimony, documented House intelligence rules, and now documented testimony of the players involved. Tell me how it's all a conspiracy theory again. We're all nuts and you're all sane. Don't worry, folks. Nothing to see here. How many whistleblowers were there? How deep was their contact with Adam Schiff and others on the Democrat side? How long have they been spying on the White House? Share this show everywhere if you don't mind. People need to know what's going on. All right, folks, thanks again for tuning in. Please subscribe to the show on YouTube, youtube.com/Bongino. We really appreciate it. Subscribe to our audio podcasts on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeart, SoundCloud, wherever you find it. I really appreciate it. Hope to see you at that book signing tomorrow in the Villages. Thanks for tuning in. This was an important show.
You just heard the Dan Bongino Show. You can also get Dan's podcasts on iTunes or SoundCloud and follow Dan on Twitter 24/7 at DBongino.